What's up, superstars? Happy Thursday, happy Friday Eve. I'm Coy Wire. This is a very special Thursday edition of CNN 10 because this is the penultimate show of the year. That means the second to last show of 2023. So let's continue to make this the best 10 minutes in news where I simply tell you the what, letting you decide what to think. We start today with news out of Dubai, where nearly 200 countries agreed to a landmark climate deal at this year's COP28 conference. It includes an unprecedented call to transition away from fossil fuels like oil, gas, and coal. Now, it is important to note this deal is not legally binding and can't on its own force any country to act. But this year's conference president notes it's still the first time language on fossil fuels has been included in a final agreement. Now, despite the historic deal, there are some loopholes. The biggest is the wording, and this can get tricky, so bear with me. Notice how earlier I said transition? Well, that is how things are phrased because the deal does not require countries to phase out coal, oil, and gas. Instead, the agreement provides 8 pathways to achieve net zero by the year 2050. Those other options include tripling renewable energy or using technology that can capture carbon dioxide emissions to keep them from the atmosphere. In other words, a country can keep using fossil fuels at the same rate as they do today and still comply with the agreement. It's this murky language that leaves some people skeptical, even as many praise this historic deal. Environmental activists say it doesn't go far enough and provides loopholes for countries to avoid instituting major change. There are also critics who say the agreement does not provide necessary funding for developing countries still dependent on fossil fuels to supply energy, income, and jobs. Still, with 2023 listed as the hottest year on record, activists are hoping that this will help move the world forward in battling climate change. Okay, from the announcement of one historic milestone to the ramifications of another, just over a year ago, a technology startup called OpenAI released an experimental chatbot called ChatGPT. Since then, the world has experienced an artificial intelligence revolution of sorts. This year has seen major tech companies pour billions into the concept while world governments grapple with how to best regulate it. What's clear, though, is that we don't really know how this AI revolution will actually look. And that's particularly clear with its effects on jobs. Earlier this year, CNN spoke to a professor about his study examining how some professions are more threatened by AI than others.
The rapid advancement of AI platforms such as ChatGPT has everyone from librarians to judges to nurses to criminal investigators asking, how exposed is my job?
Lots of people are interested in understanding what types of jobs are going to be affected by AI, what policy responses we might want to think about from a societal point of view.
This is professor and AI expert Rob Siemens, and he co-authored a paper ranking nearly 800 jobs and their exposure to artificial intelligence, particularly to AI language modeling.
So I'm not in the top 20. However, I am number 22 on the list.
The methodology takes 52 human abilities used at various jobs as defined by the Department of Labor.
So it could be things like inductive and deductive reasoning, image recognition, language comprehension, and to ones that are much more physical. So trunk strength, arm hand steadiness, something like that.
And maps those 52 human abilities to 10 areas where AI most excels.
Things like image generation, image recognition, language modeling, and things like that.
The more those AI skills and human abilities overlapped, the more a job was determined to be exposed to AI. To focus the study, they did not consider the effects of robots and other automated machines in their research, and that skewed the rankings for some jobs that you might think would be more vulnerable to advances in technology.
Workers in a manufacturing setting or maybe transportation and warehouse type settings score very low in an exposure to AI as opposed to exposure to other types of automation.
The type of jobs that the study found are most exposed to AI? White-collar occupations, often with high education requirements and higher pay.
If you look at the top 20 occupations that are most exposed to advances in language modeling, 14 of those top 20 are professors. If you look at the number one thing that a professor does, it's prepare and deliver lectures. And we know that language modeling is really helpful when it comes to preparing content that you might later on then deliver to a classroom.
AI's ability to recognize and generate language exposes a wide variety of white-collar professions, such as mental health counselors, writers, areas of the legal industry, even preachers.
Now, praying, of course, large language models are not going to be very helpful with that. But in terms of creating the sermons that you might deliver, you would imagine that, you know, just like large language models could help a clergy person do that. Same thing with a college professor.
And the number one job that is most exposed? Telemarketers.
Part of the reason why telemarketers are so exposed to advances in language modeling have to do with probably the amount of speaking that they do and the amount of, you know, listening and responding on the fly to the comments that they get from whoever they're calling.
So how exactly might AI change our jobs in the future?
Now, just because an occupation is more exposed to advances in AI doesn't mean that that job is at threat of being substituted. And it's not that lots of jobs will disappear. I don't think that will happen. However, I do think that many, many jobs will change.
10-second trivia. Which of these is a part of the United Kingdom? England, Scotland, Wales, or Northern Ireland? Sorry, not sorry. Trick question. The four listed here all make up the United Kingdom, which is sometimes referred to as a country made up of countries. A story from Scotland now. Scientists believe the world's carbon dioxide levels are at their highest level in more than 2 million years. These reports suggest removing CO2 from the atmosphere is a necessary part of keeping a healthy planet. Now, carbon capture and removal is still a relatively new and unproven field, but CNN's Bill Weir traveled to Scotland to see if a startup there has one solution to remove carbon pollution already in the atmosphere.
Over millennia, volcanic rocks have formed some of Scotland's most spectacular sites. But now they could also provide a solution to pull carbon out of the sky and lock it underground.
Rock weathering's a natural process. So CO2 in our atmosphere combines with water vapor in our atmosphere, and they will react to form a weak carbonic acid. That reacts with certain types of rocks to remove CO2.
Scottish company Undo takes that natural process and dramatically accelerates it. By grinding down volcanic rocks like basalt into a fine powder, the surface area increases. So when the rock dust is spread across agricultural land, there is more contact with rainfall and CO2, and vastly more carbon is captured.
In this powdered form, kind of like in a coffee tea in the morning, if you crush down your beans, finally you unlock those reactive surface areas, and then you can create a very potent brew very quickly.
When we're putting the basalt down on agricultural land, we typically apply it at about 20 tons per hectare, and that's across full farm, so thousands and thousands of hectares now, and we're spreading about 30,000 tons of silicate rock every month now. So that 30,000 tons that we'll be removing somewhere in the region of 7,000 or 8,000 tons of CO2.
We have developed a detailed geochemical model to enable us to predict multi-decade into the future how much rock has been weathered. So from current finding, there's huge potential for enhanced rock weathering. We could contribute to 5-10 gigatons annually of carbon dioxide removal in the future.
Imagine if you could make your gingerbread house look like anything in the world. The White House, your grandma's house, the Eiffel Tower. Today's story getting a 10 out of 10. A woman from Williamson County, Texas was visiting a Buc-ee's gas station when inspiration struck. Deanna Vaders, an employee at the local tax assessor's office, created a detailed gingerbread replica of the national chain to spread some holiday cheer. Full of candy and clever touches, you can see shoppers browsing, even pictures of her coworkers hunting for directions and pumping gas. All right, for any of you out there who might make gingerbread houses, do you stick with the traditional or do you try to get creative? Mine always end up looking like churches because I take huge bites out of them in there. Holy. Well, as I mentioned at the beginning of this show, it's our second to last show of 2023, but that means there's still time to recognize a few of you lovely people who make our work so fulfilling. Today's shout out goes to Dwight D. Eisenhower Middle School in Manhattan, Kansas. Fly, Eagles, fly. Thanks for being with us today. See you right back here tomorrow so we can finish this week and this year strong. I'm Coy Wire, and we are CNN 10.